Samahanta Chakkhavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagamokadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samaha sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samaha sambuddhassa Namo tassa Bhagavato arahato samaha sambuddhassa Okay, today I would like to share with you some verses from the two bhikkhuni, arahant bhikkhuni. One is Chala bhikkhuni, another one is Vajira bhikkhuni. Okay. So Chala Bhikkhuni is Sariputta's sister. Sariputta's mother has, I think, maybe three daughters or four brothers or four daughters and three brothers, seven. Seven, all seven are arahant. Okay. So one day, Chala Bhikkhuni, in the morning, the bhikkhuni sat down at the foot of a tree after her arms round. For the days abiding means they sit meditating, because for arahant, they can enter into either pala samapatti or any nirodha samapatti and to experience the peace of the mind. Then Mara, the evil one. When we talk about Mara, there are four types of Mara. Mara. One is Kilesa Mara. The second one is Kanda Mara. The third one is Machu Mala. Machu means death. Kanda means aggregate. And the last one means Devaputta Mara, a real being, Devaputta Mara. First, Kilesa Mara. So this Mara often come and disturb us. Like this Bhikkhuni Chada, when he was sitting, he was doing her meditation, and Mara tried to approach her and tried to make her fall down from her concentration. So in the same way, when we come for intensive meditation, sometimes different types of Mara will appear and try to, disturb us. For example, sometimes when we sit meditating, then because of concentration, sometimes there's also thoughts, and the good thoughts come. Okay, suddenly a creative plan come. Then I might start to think, wow, what a creative plan. Then think, then say, I'm going to write down. Stand up and write it down. Otherwise, when I get up, I forgot. So at this time, this Mara, you must recognize this is Mara trying to make you fall away from your concentration. If you get up and write down your plan, then you fall away from your concentration. I experienced this many times. Sometimes I'm a writer of a book. Sometimes sitting in a meditation, the mind suddenly becomes so focused and creative. There's one expression I have never expressed before. Wow, I'm mind very excited. I'm going to write down, otherwise I will forget. But I recognize this Mara. Right? But sometimes I remember, say, no, I should not get up. Continue to sit. When I get up, I will write down. When I finish my meditation, I will write down. But after I finish my meditation, I cannot remember what that creative thought is. Cannot remember at all. So if this thought is so important, how can I not remember? Right? Simply it's because of Mara. Mara tried to... Mara wanted me to fall away from my sitting. So if I follow the Mara's desire, then I fall away from my sitting. If it's really important, I will never forget after my meditation. So many times already. So nowadays, I don't trust my mind. Especially during meditation, whatever thought comes, whether it's a wholesome one, ambitious one, what, forget it. All are illusion. Just an illusion. I treat it as illusion. Similarly, in the meditation also, sometimes when you come for retreat, then you cannot sit already. I want to go back. Then must recognize this Mara. Mara trying to block you from meritorious deed. Okay. So that type of Mara is called Devadatta. It's called Kilesa Mara. Not the real Mara. Not the real Mara. It's Kilesa Mara. All the Kilesa come out to disturb your mind. And Kanda Mara. Kanda means aggregate. Our five aggregate is considered Mara. Why? Because this five aggregate, the first one is form aggregate, our four elements in the body. Earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. These four elements in the body keep on changing. Sometimes so hot, sometimes so the body is so sticky. Sometimes the body is so itchy. There are so many sensations that arise in the body which is out of your control. And you've got to bear with it. This is also called Kanda Mara. And also your feeling. Especially during the retreat. Whatever emotions you have that you have buried or you sweep under the carpet for many years. During the meditation, all pop up. So all this unsolved problem, unsolved emotion and feelings are also Kanda Mara. You've got to deal with it skillfully. Otherwise, you will be defeated. And also different type of thoughts. Suppose restless thought. I want to concentrate, but the mind thing here and there. It's like monkey mind jumping here and there. All these are also, Kanda Mara is also Kilesa Mara, both. So Kanda, five Kanda, form aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, and formation aggregate, and also consciousness aggregate. So we have to deal with this five aggregate, and this five aggregate appear to be very oppressive. For example, the formation aggregate, something related with our karma. So once a while, our life will meet with very low karma. Whatever happened, it's just unsmooth. So then we must realize there is a formation aggregate. It's very oppressive, like a Mara. So at that moment, at that period of time, we have to bear with all this suffering, with courage and understanding. Even karma is impermanent. Low karma is not there all the time. Good karma is also not there all the time. The life is made up by up and down. It's a combination of good karma and bad karma. So once we realize it, then we take it easy. Okay, so and different state of emotion. Anger, greed, jealousy, and restless, all this also belong to mental aggregate, which is also Kanda Kilesa, Kanda Mara. Mara means the evil one. Then the third Kanda, the third Mara is Machu Mara, death. Everyone afraid of death, right? So when death is approaching, people become very helpless. Death take away all your belonging, all your beloved one. Therefore, it's considered the evil one. Death is also Mara. And the fourth one is Devaputta. Devaputta means being. Being. This being, Mara always want to disturb our concentration. Wanted to make her fall away from our good state of the mind. For example, Buddha, before he gained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, before he achieved Buddhahood, then the three daughters from Mara's daughter tried to seduce him so that he will not achieve the Buddhahood. Right? Similarly, this bhikkhuni chala, when he sit for days abiding and the Mara appear, want to make her fall away from concentration, want to seduce her to enjoy sensual pleasures. So let's see what Mara say. So the evil one approached the bhikkhuni chala and said to her, "What don't you approve of, bhikkhuni? What thing you are not approve of?" Then the bhikkhuni answer, "I don't approve of birth, friend." Then the Mara asked, "Why don't you approve of birth? Once born, one enjoys sensual pleasures. Who now has persuaded you of this?" Now, who is Mara himself? Mara himself now persuade bhikkhuni chala to enjoy sensual pleasures. Then he asked, "Why don't you approve of birth? Because once you are born, you can enjoy sensual pleasures through your sense bases, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind." Right? And the bhikkhuni answered, "For one who is born, that is death. For monks being, we approve of birth. Therefore, we celebrate happy birthday." This is worthy ordinary being. Buddha and all arahant, they all do not approve of birth. If you read Sutta, not even one monk celebrate for his birthday. No, I cannot read the whole Sutta. Cannot find even one celebrate for his or her birthday. But ordinary beings very different. They feel very happy with birth. Even 80 years old also want to celebrate happy birthday. So what we see, what we worldly people perceive, is very different from the noble one. So the bhikkhuni answer, why she does not approve of birth? She said that when one who is born, there is death. This is for sure. Everybody have to accept. Once born, one encounters sufferings. What type of suffering? Bondage. Murder. Murder can be murder by other people or murder by your own five aggregate. Therefore, five aggregate is called murderer. If you attach to one, let's say if you attach to your body, then this body become your murderer. You are bound by the body. Little bit discomfort, you cannot stand. And give in to anger, give in to greed, give in to various types of mental refinements. This is called bound by the body. It's bondage, and body become your bondage. And sometimes bodily will be killed by other people, tortured by other people. Therefore, it's called murder. And affliction. Affliction refers to bodily, physically and mentally affliction. Those who suffer from cancer knows well. Who suffer from serious sickness. then they know how suffering is having this body. To me, the mental suffering more than physical suffering. I can endure physical suffering to a great extent, but that mental suffering is another burden for me. Okay, hence one shouldn't approve of birth. Because with birth you have bondage, you're bound by the body, by a feeling, and by different mental states. And these five aggregates appear like a murderer, and affliction, like evil, like tumor, like cancer, and so on. Therefore, one shouldn't approve of birth. The Buddha has taught the Dharma, the transcendence of birth. Go beyond the birth. For the abandoning of all suffering. Because when there's no birth, the suffering will not follow along with the birth. Why? When there's no birth, there's no body. Therefore, no bodily suffering. When there's no birth, no mental. Therefore, no mental suffering. No aging, no sickness, and no death. When there's no birth, there's no death. And Buddha said, simply because of aging, sickness, and death, I appear in the world. If the world has no aging, sickness, and death, I don't have to appear in the world for the welfare and happiness for all sentient beings. Right? Therefore, no one can escape from aging, sickness, and death. But only the one who has no birth can escape from aging, sickness, and death. So, and the bhikkhuni continued to say, he has settled me in the truth, the Buddha. The Buddha has settled me in the truth. The truth of awakening, the truth of abandoning all desires. As to those beings who fare amidst form, we are the beings who fare amidst form. We have the form. And those who abide in the formless, arupa world, those who have no body, no physical body, not having understood cessation, whether you have form or without form, if you don't understood cessation of form or cessation of mental. Formless mean mental only. So some beings have physical form and mental together. Some beings only have mental, no form. But if this type of people don't understand cessation of both body and mind, then they come again to re-becoming. They come again to the world again and again. So when they come to birth again, then they are not free from aging, sickness, and death. They are not free from bondage, murder, and affliction. Therefore, I don't approve birth. This is what the Chalabhikkhuni answered the Mara. Then Mara, the evil one, realizing the bhikkhuni Chala knows me, sad and disappointed because the Mara cannot defeat bhikkhuni Arahant, then disappeared right there. If this bhikkhuni has no mental strength, then he will follow Mara's desire and fall away not only from concentration but also from her virtues. And enjoy sensual pleasures with the Mara. Okay? Okay, next one. Vajira. Vajira means diamond. Okay, in the morning, the bhikkhuni Vajira, dressed and taking bow and rope, enter Savatthi for alms. So this is regular practice of monk and nun during Buddha's time. They go Pindabat. So when they go Pindabat, they cannot demand anything. What people give you, just take it. When she had walked for alms in Savatthi and had returned from her alms round, after her meal, she went to the blind man's grove for a day's abiding. So from here, you can see the responsibility and the duty of monk and nun. Maybe after get up, they clean the monastery. No? Then after that, they go out for Pindabak. Taking the meditation subject with them, they go out for Pindabak. Similarly, tomorrow, when you go out also, taking your meditation subject. Pay attention on your breath. Or you say metta. Take the meditation subject with you when you go Pindabak for tomorrow. So then after finish their meal, they will start meditating. Then Mara, the evil one, desiring to arouse fear and terror in the bhikkhuni Vajira, desiring to make her fall away from concentration, approach her and address her in verses. So from here you can see again, the Mara is there all the time. We just have to be mindful. We must be mindful and recognize the Mara when he appears. Don't be defeated by the Mara. And sometimes Mara want to arouse fear in us. Sometimes when we see, when we experience some good insight, and we become so fearful. Recognize Mara is there. Mara want to arouse fear so that you fall away. There are some of the students, when they practice, they say, four elements meditation, they see, the whole body consists of four elements meditation, consists of four elements, earth element, water, fire, and wind element. So at the time, they cannot see any form, just four elements arising, passing away, and they become so fearful, shedding their tears and so fearful, and they come to me. I said that, isn't that this is your goal, to see the non-self nature of the body? But how come when you realize your goal, you become so fearful and so afraid and want to fall away, I don't want to meditate anymore? I think the Mara is there. Similarly, when practice Anapanasati also same. Some people when reach a state, they cannot see the body, only one hand. They can feel only one hand. So they also feel very terrible. Open the eye, where is my body? When you open the eye, you fall away from concentration. And Mara is there already. Mara want you to fall away from, Mara arouse your fear. If you follow the Mara's desire, then you fall away from your concentration. And some people, when they reach a state, there's no breath. Then they are afraid, suffocated. So they don't know, I'm going to die. Then they breathe in very loud, and they fall away from concentration again. Recognize, all this is Mara. Okay? So the Mara approach her and address her in verses. By whom has this being been created? This verses, the answer of Vajira is very famous. Where is the maker of the being? Where has the being arisen? Where does the being cease? Then it occurred to the bhikkhuni Vajira, now who is this that recited the verses, a human being or a non-human being? Then it occurred to her, this is Mara, who has recited the verse desiring to arouse fear in me, desiring to make me fall away from concentration. Then the bhikkhuni Vajira replied to him in verses, why now do you assume a being? Because he asked a question. Mara asked a question. By whom has this being been created? How should you answer? Put aside Bhikkhuni Vajira's answer. How should you answer? For my parent. All right? Partly from your parent. Western science will say from my parent, right? Brother Lo, is it true? Where a being, where you created, where? From your parent, right? So this Western science, huh? We are not, we don't 100% follow what science say. Therefore, the Bhikkhuni answered, why now do you assume a being? Mara, have you grasped a view? If you assume there's a being, this is called wrong view already. In the teaching of the Buddha, we do not assume a being. We do not say that a being is being created either by God or by our parent. We don't say that. To say a being is already a wrong view. Not to say created by whom. When you say there's a being, it's already a wrong view. Some more you say created by somebody, second wrong view. Right? So Mara, have you grasped a view, identity view? This is a heap of sheer constructions. Here, no being is found. Just like a house. A house is constructed by what? By the roof, by the pillar, by the foundation, and by all this cement and brick. Right? But when you remove the roof, take away the pillar, when the foundation collapses, you cannot find the house. But with the combination of all this, and the house is found. And that house is also, it's just a designation of a name only. It's a name. The name come out when all the combinations are there. Therefore, Vajira said that this being is a heap of sheer constructions. Here, no being is found. In conventional truth, we say there's a being. She is Vajira, she is Chala, she is Dhammadina, and so on. This is according to the conventional truth, for easy communication, right? For the sake of convenience. So we give a person a name for easy understanding. If we don't give them a name, the world will fall into confusion because all are five aggregate. So if I want to call Brother Lo, five aggregate, please come. She also five aggregate. He also five. I don't know. Everybody come to me, then I cannot get things done. Right? Therefore, we give him a Lo, or this Dhamma, Dina, this is Kema, this is Gautami, and so on, for easy understanding, for the sake of convenience, so that the world will not fall into confusion, conventionally. Okay? But ultimately, we must understand there's no self. It's just a combination of the parts. What are the combination? Five aggregate. Form, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. Okay. Then she continued to say, just as with an assemblage of parts, the word chariot is used. You know, chariot, like a horse chariot, is made up by, by wheel, the carriage, and the horse, and so on. Then we call all this chariot. It's made up by part, assemble of different parts, that the word chariot is used. So when the aggregates are present, when the five aggregates are present, there is the conventional being. You are being, human being, deva is also five aggregate, right? Hell being is also five aggregate. Animal is also five aggregate. So with the assemblage of all these five aggregate, a being, the term being, or the name being, or conventional truth is there. It is only suffering that comes to be. Suffering, suffering that stands and falls away. I think the wrong spelling. Okay, suffering that stands and falls away. Okay, for this part, many people cannot understand. If you say that when there's no being, how can the suffering come from? How can suffering arise? Yes, when you have five aggregate, you have the suffering. But five aggregate are not a being. Being is just conventional truth, must be always remember. You must remember this point. Being is just conventional truth. But when there are five aggregate, they are suffering. So he said that it's only suffering that comes to be. Only five aggregate associated with suffering that comes to be. And this five aggregate is not a permanent self. We always identify five aggregate as a permanent self. Therefore, we develop identity view. Right? So the path is to keep on seeing this five aggregate is not self. It's conditionally arisen phenomena. Keep seeing this point until you lose the perception of self. So it's only suffering that comes to be, suffering that stands and falls away. Suffering also impermanent. Suffering is also impermanent. Or sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe sankhara dukkha. So suffering is also sankhara. Suffering is also impermanent. So suffering stands and falls away. Nothing but suffering comes to be. Nothing means no beings. No permanent self, no beings. Nothing but suffering comes to be. Nothing but suffering ceases. Therefore, there's always hope in the teaching of the Buddha. Buddha said, there is suffering, yes, no one can deny. However, suffering also will come to the end one day. And Buddha showed us the path, the Noble Eightfold Path, concentration and insight meditation that lead you to the end of suffering. Therefore, Buddha said, nothing but suffering comes to be, nothing but suffering ceases. So whenever we experience suffering in our life, we don't see it as, we don't try to personalize the suffering as myself. I remember one time when I was USA, I practiced every morning sit in concentration, anapana, sit very long. But every time, for many times, even the breathing in and breathing out, appear to me just suffering. I don't know why. No, breathe in, the mind feels suffering. Breathing out also feels suffering. Breathing in, suffering, breathing out, suffering, until I jump out. I cannot bear that suffering anymore. So stop meditating for this morning. Tomorrow, start again, breathing in, suffering. It's not I want to see suffering. It just appeared to my mind. Each breath is just suffering. At the time, I cannot sit. And I don't want to sit because I cannot cope with that suffering. And the third day, suddenly I remember Venerable Sariputta said, suffering is also not a self. Suffering is not a self. So, third day, breathing in, breathing out, suffering is not a self. Breathing in, breathing out, suffering is not myself. Then I can sit 3 hours. So for the first day and second day, the breath appeared to me just suffering. Why I cannot cope with it? Simply because I identify that suffering as myself. Therefore, I feel very, very oppressive. And on the third day, the teaching of the Buddha, the teaching of Sariputta suddenly awakened me. Oh, suffering is just a phenomena. It's also impermanent, right? It's not a self. So I breathe in, breathe out, suffering not myself. Then I can continue my sitting. And when I stay here also, I encounter a lot of suffering. If I am not mindful, if I am not contemplative, then if I grasp suffering as myself, I cannot endure. But the moment I contemplate, oh, suffering is not myself, it's just a phenomena arising, passing away, then I can continue to live on. Otherwise, life is so difficult. Right? Therefore, nothing, not beings. Don't identify suffering as yourself, as myself. Otherwise, you cannot bear the hardship of life. So nothing but suffering comes to be, nothing but suffering ceases. And this, I also tally with one very famous utterance of Buddha's teaching. Buddha said, "What I teach is both formerly and now. What I teach is suffering and the end cessation of suffering. There's no being. Only phenomena rolling on, there's no being. What I teach both formerly and now is only suffering and the cessation of suffering." Before I come to understanding of the Buddha's teaching practically, through my own insight, I cannot understand this verse. Only suffering and the end of suffering, no one suffering. What's the meaning? And then who am I? Right? I cannot understand. But when you reach certain insight, then suddenly it's so clear. Now what Buddha said is so clear and so precise. So what Vajira tried to convey is that suffering exists. Suffering is impermanent, come and go, and there's no one undergo suffering. So you cannot say, you cannot assume a being. You cannot say that a being is created. You cannot say there's maker of the being. Who is the maker of the being? We are not Christian. Christians say that God is the maker of being. But we are not Christian. Neither are we Hindu. Hindu also say the Brahma created beings. We are the follower of Buddha. Buddha say everything depends on condition. And conditional phenomena arising and passing away, there's no permanent thing, there's no permanent beings. So we cannot say there's a maker. No. And we cannot say where has the being arisen. The moment you use the being, you already fall into wrong view. Therefore, Bhikkhuni say, "Mara, have you grasped a view?" When you say that, why now? Why when the Mara said there's a being, who is the maker of being? So the moment Mara used a being, Bhikkhuni, Vajira tell, you grasp a view already. Okay? Then Mara, the evil one, realizing the Bhikkhuni Vajira knows me, sad and disappointed, disappeared right there. Okay, so for your meditation, apart from anapana, sometimes whatever emotions, whatever feeling that arise, or whatever sensation that arise in your body, whatever feeling you have, either pleasant, unpleasant, or whatever emotional state that arise at the moment, try to contemplate two ways. One, you can contemplate it as impermanent. Keep on telling yourself, it's impermanent. Thing will change. Okay? Or you can just see it as not myself, not myself. Sadness, or you know, what sensitivity? Sometimes, you know, some people may be very sensitive toward what other people say. Then they feel something at heart. So when all this emotion arises in you, just say, not myself, not myself. And when you say not myself, it's not only verbal, it's not only reciting. You try to separate the noting mind with that emotion. Separate it, not myself, like other people's emotion, not your emotion. In the beginning, you may find it difficult, but practice makes perfect. Right? So not myself, not myself, not myself. Otherwise, if you cannot master in this skill, then you cannot cope with your emotions. Right? Once you master this skill, you don't need teacher to console your broken heart. You have the skill and how they call courage, the power of the mind. Then one time you face, second time, third time. Just like when suffering, I told you what, when I breathe in, breathe out, every breath to appear to me as suffering. I also have no teacher to ask, right? But I have sutta knowledge, the teaching of the Buddha. So suddenly I remember, again I practice it. Okay, suffering is not myself. Then I can carry on my practice without guidance from any teacher. Therefore, if you want to be a long-term practitioner, you must have the skillful mean to counter or to overcome life's uncertainty. Either you can contemplate whatever arises in your mind as impermanent, impermanent, and when you contemplate it as impermanent, impermanent, your mind must be willing to let go of it. Don't contemplate impermanent and yet grasp to it. Then it will not be impermanent. It will be permanent due to your grasping. Trust what Buddha say, sabbe sankhara anicca. Everything is impermanent. But why some sorrow, you know, some unhappy experience or sorrow or despair that appears so long in our heart can be years, 2 years, 3 years, even carry forward to next life? Why? If Buddha says sabbe sankhara anicca, if we have faith in everything is impermanent, but why certain things are so hard to remove from the bottom of the heart? Simply we cling to it as permanent, or we cling to it as mine. That sorrow belong to me. That sorrow belong to me. That's grasping. When there's grasping, there's clinging, that issue will stay very, very long in your heart. Unless you are willing to let go of it. By constantly contemplate impermanent, impermanent, not myself, conditional phenomena, it will change, it will change. Okay? There was a story. A very wealthy father, he has two sons. So one day when he's going to die, then he want to pass his heritage to will to his two sons. So the elder one, the elder one take a big lump sum of money, and the younger one is a small box only. His what he get is only a small box. And the younger son open the box and see one ring. Then the elder son very happy. My father loved me so much, give me so much money and give the younger one just a small ring. Yeah. But the younger son is very smart. Very, very smart. He say, my father is a wise man, Panita. You know, why he give me such a small ring? What does it mean? Right? So So using his intelligence, he tried to see the spring, investigate again and again. Finally, he finds some wood